Hey guys, thank you for listening to the Zach Scriven Podcast. The Zach Scriven Podcast is sponsored by Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. It gives you everything you need right in one place for free to publish your podcast across Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the podcasting place. You can record, edit, and even add sponsorships and earn money from your podcast. Really easy to get started. Go to anchor.fm or download the Anchor app to get started. And thank you, Anchor, for sponsoring the Zach Scriven Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I think, we just want to continue moving forward, growing the company, providing good products for our customers, providing jobs for people, and, see where it takes us.
Your name for the record, first and last?
Albert Lambert.
And social security number?
435.
I think I hypnotized him there for a second. Okay, so, no, I'm just making sure you're paying attention.
Nope, I'm listening.
Okay, so, thanks for doing this, dude.
Yeah, man, thanks a lot. I just wanted to be known that Zach was one of the first guys that reached out and congratulated us on starting the business. And it meant a lot to us, so we want to pay the favor back to Zach.
Thanks,
and support him and his career.
Yeah. So yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit how, when, and how you started SCADA Integrators and Service?
Yeah. So me and Alex, we've been knowing each other for a while, and we've decided just to go out on our own, start our own business, and it kind of brought us to here. We've been almost 4 years now. And time flies.
Alex who?
Barrios.
Okay. And so you'd known each other at the previous company or prior to that?
No, I just at the previous company, met each other.
Why did you want to start your own company?
Just a new, different challenge. That's really was the only thing. Try and do things your way and see if they work.
Yeah, and so what has been the biggest difference going from being like a senior engineer at a little, like a different integrator to starting up your own integration?
I think managing the people and the customer's expectations changes a little bit whenever you become, the owner of the company. I don't think the technical side of it really changes that much, but it's mostly about managing the people and the customers and their expectations. It's definitely a bigger challenge. It's a lot more on your plate, but at the end of the day, I think it pays off.
Okay. And we only have one shot, so might as well take the
Hey, why not?
Awesome. And so tell us a little bit about like those early days and getting started.
Yeah.
Getting your first client.
Real stressful, You just kind of walk out of the door. You don't really have anything set up. You know what's going to happen, So you just kind of start knocking on doors. And, we would just drive around and look for well sites. And whenever we seen a name, we would call them up and say, hey, can we help y'all? Different things like that. And it just kind of took off. We had old friends that would give us a call and say, hey, we gotta, you want to take this job that I can't handle, I don't have enough people, whatever. And just kind of built up from there.
What was the hardest part?
I think just not knowing what was going to happen. Are you going to fail? Are you going to succeed?
What was the worst case scenario?
I didn't really look at it as being that terrible. In our field, I feel like somebody that knows what they're doing can find a job pretty quickly.
Right.
So, I figured, if it did happen that we failed, I would call around and find a job pretty quickly. But, it's still, there's a ton of stress, involved with it. And, you definitely don't want to let your family down. I didn't want to let Alex down,
right.
So it was just kind of one of those situations where, hey, we want to do whatever we got to do to make this work. And so far, we're doing pretty good.
Awesome. I'm going to try to ask you this not sway so much, so it's not as distracting on the...
Okay, yeah.
I know, it's something.
Yeah, but, I'm a fidgeter.
So if you put your feet down, it might be a little... whatever is most comfortable for you. So how did you define success then? What did success look like for you going into the venture?
Well, getting a paycheck was one of them, but so I don't know. I don't know if we have it really defined yet, to be honest. I think we just want to continue moving forward, growing the company, providing good products for our customers, providing jobs for people, and see where it takes us.
Awesome. So what are some of the clients that you serve? Obviously, you mentioned oil and gas.
Yeah, we're big in oil and gas. That's, you know, most of our background. But we also are branching out into water and wastewater. And also trying to branch our monitor into other industries, not just oil and gas, but also water, wastewater, and really anything that you would want to monitor remotely.
Okay. And you've brought a couple products to market. You want to talk about
So one of our key things, I've been a long-time ignition integrator, you know, doing some of the first real big oil and gas projects with the ignition software. And so, you know, kind of continuing that, we're still, you know, providing that service to customers. And we're also doing our in-house monitoring. We provide a great product. We're a lot cheaper than most other companies that are providing the same services. And we have all of the same features. And, you know, we can really do whatever you want to do. Everybody knows the ignition software is real flexible and fun to work with. So we look for those types of challenges where we can, you know, bring something that a customer wants in-house also.
So as far as your hosted customers versus like ongoing service and maintenance, what represents like the bulk of your guys' revenue stream? Is it primarily the software as a service or?
No, definitely right now at this point doing service and building panels like we see on the back wall. But our monitoring service is a big chunk of our revenue. So it's something that we push and we actively work on. And also routinely push out new updates and features.
Okay. And which client, like what's the kind of persona of the client that you would find would want to go with the hosted solution versus building out their own?
Yeah, so most of them are going to be smaller oil companies that don't have a big, huge IT staff or automation group, smaller guys, you know, probably less than, you know, say 1,000 devices that they're wanting to monitor. It just makes sense for them to go with a hosted solution. You know, we take care of, you know, making sure that everything is working, everything's being backed up properly. We have the expertise on from basically the device all the way up to the cloud. So that's kind of the ones that we chase after, the guys that have, you know, somewhere less than 1,000, less than 500 devices. That's really where the payoff is for them.
Okay. And how quickly, I mean, depending on what that customer has in place already, how quickly can you get them online and integrated?
Extremely quick, you know, depending on the documentation that they have and stuff like that. But typically, you know, if we get a customer that say has 50 to 100 devices, we could turn that on within a couple of days. If it's like, say 500 devices, then, you know, maybe a week. It really just depends on how we can collect that information. Mm-hmm. We've built, you know, windows and scripting and stuff like that to support massive tag creation. So basically we just take a CSV file with all the information, hit run, it populates everything, creates all the devices, and it's all done really quickly. So
do they already have like their own on-prem solution, or are you also installing communications boxes?
Yeah, we do communications also. We have our own private cellular backhaul with going through an MVNO. So
what's that?
I don't remember the exact terminology, but basically it's a company that does business with AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, all of these guys, and makes that available to us without having to deal with all of those guys individually as a small customer.
And so, you get whichever one is best for that location.
Yeah, correct. So like maybe in West Texas, we can only do Verizon because that has the bigger footprint, but everywhere else, mostly AT&T.
That's interesting. Good to know.
Yeah.
So, I guess what is the biggest struggle you're seeing oil and gas customers facing in digital transformation?
That's a tough question. I mean, I think right now, you know, we're kind of going through a phase where we're maybe transforming the way we communicate to the field. So it's going to take a little while for, I think, everybody to kind of catch up to that new way of doing things. Everything's ingrained. Most of the people in the field already know how to do it, you know, the old way. So as we start transforming into using these newer technologies like MQTT, you know, we're gonna have to have more of the devices that we use in oil and gas, support those types of protocols. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, the people have the proper knowledge and expertise to implement it.
You're finding oil and gas is one of those industries that is slower to change or quicker to change?
I think slower. I definitely think slower. I think that, you know, some companies kind of push a little bit more on being groundbreaking, but I think a lot of them just kind of sit back and kind of wait for maybe some of the bigger guys to implement it, get it working, make sure it's going to work right, and then maybe kind of move on to it a little bit down the road. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of taken the same approach too. We've investigated some of these technologies, but we haven't really jumped head first into it yet. Although, you know, like I said, we've been doing the research and we're familiar with it, and we're going to be doing some implementation here pretty soon.
How have you seen the oil industry change over the last 5 years as far as prices and how that affects capital expenditures?
Yeah, that's actually been pretty good for us because we try and do things a little bit cheaper than other people. So we've noticed that we can get people to listen whenever we walk in and kind of present what our pricing structure is compared to what they're paying now. But yeah, definitely right now with all prices on the lower end, everybody's trying to look for ways to save money. So
awesome. That's very cool. And what would you say is the biggest reason for your cost savings? Like, why are you less expensive than another guy down the street?
Yeah, I just think that we're a little bit more efficient. You know, we have a smaller staff, but we know we've built the tools in Ignition to do all the monitoring for us and, you know, rapid tag creation and stuff like that. You know, I hear of other companies taking over a day to implement a device, and it's something that we can do in 5 to 10 minutes. So I just think that we're more efficient. We've took the time to build the proper tools. Our system is designed to rapidly put devices on. So I think that's really the crux of it.
So you, it's the kind of, you don't have any dead weight carrying around, or you have that, and that tooling and infrastructure is designed for.
Yeah, we built the infrastructure to handle it real quick. And, you know, it's just, Ignition is a great product. It gives you all of these different ways of doing things. And if you take advantage of them and do things the right way, it really works out for you.
So let's say I'm wanting to start up my own Ignition hosted SCADA solution. Do I go out and get a customer first, or do I go out and start building my product first?
I think you build the product first because, you know, you can, that's kind of what I did. The first 3 months after we started the company, we started working on, you know, starting to build the infrastructure, getting it in place, using test devices, and, you know, kind of proving it out. So
a demo kind of,
kind of a demo. That way, whenever you walk into the customer's office, you have something to show him. And it may not be perfect, may not be 100% what he wants right off of the bat, but you know, you can work with him and get him.
How do you balance maintaining a consistent, like, standard across all customers for efficiency and, you know, economies of scale versus customizing for each individual customer and site's needs?
Yeah, that's definitely a huge challenge. We've faced, you know, different customers where they want graphics and stuff like that, but, you know, for the prices that we charge, you know, we just can't do graphics. You know, it's just way too much work and stuff like that. So depending on the amount of devices they have, you know, we always recommend that they maybe go with their own in-house system or a system that we could purchase and put in the cloud for them if they prefer to have us manage it. So that's kind of how we handle that. We have implemented a lot of features that customers have asked for where we can fit it into the whole scheme, and, you know, it works great. And we've also did different implementations where only that customer sees that particular feature. So we can work around it a lot of times. It's just, you know, you kind of, it's a balancing thing where you got to say, okay, you know, if I spend all of this time doing this, am I going to actually make any money by doing these low cost hosting, or, you know, is it just something that it's not possible?
That's a hard question to answer.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you, are you doing multi-tenancy where multiple customers are sharing the same Ignition gateway, or are you, for larger customers, getting their own gateway?
Yeah, so the majority of our hosting is all multi-tenant. So everything's running off of the same server. Everything's segregated completely in the database, but that's definitely how we handle that. But we have other systems where we built for customers where they have their own in-house stuff, but we manage it for them. And so that's always an option too.
Okay, so you're getting that lowest price possible by having multi-tenancy.
Yeah, definitely.
What is the biggest ongoing cost?
The biggest ongoing cost is definitely going to be the cloud part of it. So building out that infrastructure, cloud hosting isn't cheap, you know, but it's necessary in our world, especially where we're at in Louisiana, because next week a storm could come through and wipe this place out. Right. So, you know, have electricity down for 2 or 3 weeks easily. Wow. So all of our stuff is 100% cloud based, from the Ignition server to our Twilio SMSing, our voice calls, all of that stuff, all 100% cloud-based. So we don't rely on anything here, actually, at our office.
What other tools do you use just for running your business?
Yeah, so we're actually moving into using a web-based job system.
Okay.
Where we can basically give our employees the ability to, you know, take care of doing their service tickets and stuff like that all through the phone. It's actually something that we thought about building in Ignition, but we said, hey, we'll go with this for a while. And then if once we get more familiarity with Perspective and the newer stuff, we may actually, you know, build it ourselves.
Okay.
But that's one of the things that we're kind of pushing to be a little bit more efficient in, getting our service tickets, timesheets, and all of that kind of thing done through the phone. That way, as soon as the guys leaves the job site, it'll be into the office and we can take care of processing the invoice.
Okay. So what do you think about the new version of Ignition 8?
Yeah, we've been playing with it a little bit, and our plan here in the next quarter is to go ahead and get a new server spun up, get Ignition 8 on there, start converting our app and taking advantage of some of the newer features, kind of playing with the Perspective side. It's not a huge rush for us right now because we've built out a great mobile module with the web dev. So, you know, it's not a huge rush for us, but we want to kind of take advantage of Perspective and trying to start using it more.
So for that, the mobile module and the web dev, so you're using web dev?
Yeah, just web dev.
And how? What's the front end for that?
I'll let Drew speak to that, but a lot of it is HTML. It is really nice.
Okay.
Drew's mostly done the development on that side of it. So I had originally wrote some HTML whenever I first started, and whenever we hired Drew, that was one of the main things that we wanted to do was clean up the mobile website and make it more user-friendly. And we've combined a lot of the features that we had in the desktop app and made them available on the mobile app, and it's just really nice. Nice and clean. You know, features carry over from one to the other, as far as building custom views. So it's real neat.
How has the Ignition community been as far as support and just from other integrators or from Inductive themselves?
Yeah, I think Inductive probably provides the best support there is in the industry. I've always had great success going to them. As far as other integrators, we just hadn't really had to go to anybody else as far to get help on anything. Mm-hmm. So I can't really speak to that, but as far as Ignition, we've always loved them. You know, I've been using them since, I want to say around 2008, 2009. So
okay.
I don't even remember, it's been so long. But it's a great product, we love it, super stable.
Why would you say there's always, or seemingly been, a little bit of bad rap between integrators?
I think people are just kind of scared of, sharing things and being competitive with other people. I don't know. I mean, we don't have a problem working with anybody else as far as we do it all the time, working with other companies that are competitors to us for the same customer. So,
no putting passwords on PLC code or
wiping
out comments.
No, we work with people. We don't have.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, and I've even seen it from other companies that provide SCADA hosting. You know, they don't want to provide a tag dump, you know, of the customer's information. You know, so we don't play like that. If somebody's going to leave our service, we're going to provide them all the information that they need. So, I think a lot of it is, you know, they think that if they keep the information away from the customer, that they'll be able to keep the customer.
Right.
And I really think, especially in oil and gas, that's a big mistake, because what happens is, you know, companies get bought out, people move around, very few people stay in the same position for a real long time. So the guy that you make mad this time, he may end up somewhere else and it may cost you some work. So, you know, we always work with everybody 100%. If we need to provide them information, we're going to give it to them.
Yeah. And something I'm excited to see starting to hopefully be a relic of the past with things like internet and social media, democratizing information,
yeah,
and just generally opening up that open source community. And then I think all of us kind of are getting better.
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, how do we get better at things?
Collaborating.
We see what other people do,
right.
Collaborate with people. So to actually get better at things, you got to see what everybody else is doing. So, you know, everybody, everything that we've invented has always been a jump off from something that somebody else has already done. So, you know, that's the way you learn. That's the way you improve things.
And that never started until the first farming was done in such a way that one farmer could produce more than enough food for one person. So now all of a sudden there was people that didn't need to farm all day for their food. They actually had free time to think about ideas and implement them.
Yeah.
And from there, it's just been like a skyrocket.
Yeah.
First industrial revolution, second industrial revolution.
Yeah.
Now we're in the fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah.
What is Industry 4.0?
So yeah, I think Industry 4.0 is basically how we're going to collect the data, how we're going to ingest the data, and what are we going to do with the data. So I think Industry 4.0, what's going to happen is people are going to start collecting massive amounts of data. They're going to ingest the data, bring it in, and try and figure out the different ways that they can use that data to improve their processes and improve, you know, production of their product, whether it be oil and gas or some other product that's being manufactured. I kind of ran out of.
Do you have an example of an Industry 4.0?
Yeah, so we kind of did one in collaboration with someone else. So one of my customers, we collect a lot of information from them, and what they did was they hired a third-party guy to come in and build a Power BI dashboard where they could do some analytics on the data that we were bringing in, and kind of make predictions on the forecasting of their production in the wells, but also if they came in and did reworks on what their production would, you know, improve to. So we kind of worked with the guy on that, and it was actually really neat and interesting to do. Can't talk too much about it because it was one of those confidential things, but it was interesting to see, you know, some of the metrics that they use and develop to build the different dashboards, trends, and alerts in this Power BI system.
So with that pilot, or with any pilot or project that is using some of those technologies ultimately to be more efficient, to produce more with less, what do you do with those savings?
Yeah, I think that for an oil and gas company, it probably means you know, drilling more wells to make more production.
Right. To grow.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you seeing a lot of domestic growth here in the oil production industry?
Oh yeah, definitely. I would say I'm not an expert on any of this, but I know from the news clips that it seems like we're at the highest level we've ever been.
Right. We're actually holding our own.
Yeah. I think we might even be the largest producer in the world. So.
Wow. And it's not just from technology, right? But also like the drilling technology too.
Yeah, a lot of it is the drilling technology in West Texas. Again, I'm not an expert on the drilling side of things, but I think they've come up with a lot of new methods to where they can get the oil and gas out of the ground.
What parts of the stream are you mostly focused on?
We typically work on the pipeline side and the production side, so midstream and upstream.
Okay. Downstream would be like a refinery?
Yeah.
Okay. What about during the drilling process? Is there any information that you will collect that would then be analyzed with the actual life of the well?
No, not that we've ran across anyway. I know that I did do some stints on the drilling side where we were doing monitoring and stuff while we were drilling through drilling the well, but That was many years ago. I'm sure that they're still doing that type of thing, but we mostly concentrate on the production and the pipeline side.
Very cool. What are some, what are the, like, the biggest buzzwords that you think of when you think Industry 4.0?
Yeah, IIoT is IIoT. Definitely one of them.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I you see all these things thrown around. So, you know, I guess it's good. You got to get stuff out there. And I definitely like a lot of the technology behind it. You know, everybody would like to get exception based, tag updates and stuff like that. So I think that the industry is definitely moving that way. It's just going to take a little bit of time, I believe, for, you know, it makes it down to everybody.
Edge driven and report by exception.
So
like, yeah, you have a smart thermostat in the office here. That's IoT. So what is the difference between IoT and IIoT, or industrial Internet of Things?
Yeah, I think it's just another buzzword thrown on top of some more buzzwords, but you know, it's all the same thing. I mean, whether it's a thermostat or it's, you know, a flow meter in the field or whatever, you know, it's all just information that you're processing. So, you know, that's kind of like us. That's what we were talking about earlier with different industries. You know, the same principles reside in every industry, whether it's water, wastewater, oil and gas, manufacturing. You know, basically all you're doing is controlling a process. So, you know,
yeah,
we can step into any of those realms and feel comfortable.
And now video content creation too.
Yeah. My first, I guess we call it podcast. I'm an avid listener of podcasts. So, you know, it's pretty interesting being on one.
Yeah. Would you, you think you're nervous or a little bit?
I was at first, but not so much anymore. I feel pretty comfortable.
That's good. Yeah. What do you think, you know, you personally, what made you nervous?
About doing a podcast?
Yeah.
You know, I think pretty much anyone, you know, kind of gets nervous whenever they first do some type of video or, you know, get up in front of a crowd. I remember doing the Ignition Community Conference. I was on one of the panels, and I was very nervous. So, you know, the first time you kind of get up in front of a stage with 200 or 300 people looking at you, I think most people tend to get a little nervous.
Yeah.
I think some people are probably just by nature better at that type of thing, but I definitely think it's something that most people can work on and get better at.
Right. And I think if you focus on the results and not so much the, you know, it's like, well, if I do this podcast, then maybe someone might hear about SCADA integrators and service, or maybe someone might learn something that I said that might help them improve their business. Or
yeah, it's mostly just about getting our name out there. We wanted to, you know, sponsor
support
you,
me, yeah.
Support you.
Appreciate that.
Zach, I don't know if I mentioned it already, but Zach was one of the first guys to congratulate us whenever we started up. So, you know, to get people reaching out to you and saying, hey, you know, good luck, hope everything works out for you, you know, is always a big help whenever you first starting the company, you know?
Yeah. Did you get a lot, besides the support, did you get any hate or just people that?
No.
Old colleagues or old bosses?
No, nobody was negative about it. I will say that a few people, you know, because oil and gas was slow at the time, it was right in the middle of the downturn. A few people were negative about it, but I think that that's probably true no matter when you start. You know, some people are gonna say, hey, you know, go for it, man, do a great job, and then some people just say, oh man, you know, I can't believe you're gonna jump out there and do that. You
it's
know?
Almost like they're just projecting their
yeah
own fears.
I think that's human you. Yeah, I think that's human nature, you know. But I think the good thing is, you know, the support that you get, you know, it really helps.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that's why I think we resonated well, is because, you know, I quit my job to pursue my passion. And so I do like the idea of, you know, not so many just large conglomerates, but like smaller shops that are, you know, each person on the team, like, brings a valuable, you know,
yeah,
they're not just a number to a large integrator, but they're like part of the team, they're part of the family, and yeah, maybe they might start their own company one day, and you know, they're kind of just like apprenticing, you know, and you know, even if they were to start their own company, that you would, you know, want them to support, like, in following what they want to do best, even though that you might have to replace them. I think that the more we can kind of support each other, I think in the long run, the better off we'll all be, because then that will be a place that people want to actually work at. Yeah. And
yeah, I kind of feel like, I'm sure Alex agrees with me, but you know, if we have people that are off shooting and doing their own thing, that means that we're probably doing stuff pretty well here and they're learning. So, you know, that's how we look at it.
Anyway. It's an interesting conversation to have. I was talking to Miller Resource Group about just recruiting, and I mean, we could have talked for hours just on this topic alone. It's like, well, when you're leaving your job and how the company feels and how do you explain that to them? And, you know, are they supportive? Are they not? And then just, you know, negotiating counter offers and like all this crazy world of stuff that we go through just to, I guess, at the end of the day, like put food on the table.
Yeah.
it's kind of weird that we have such a complicated system, and I like seeing it get more transparent and open, and you know, maybe facilitated by technology or facilitated by communication, video. I think that it's getting to a more less taboo place, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a couple of people leave, you know, since we started, and you know, everything was good on our end. I mean, we appreciate everybody's time. Yeah. I think things are getting to where you don't have people that's going to stay working for the same company for 20 or 30 years. So, you know, if somebody comes in, they provide value to you, you know, in turn provide value to them by training them and stuff like that. I think it's a good thing, you know. Yeah. You know, it'd be nice for everybody to stick around in, you know, 20, 30 years. But it's also good, too, to, you know, see the diverse type of thoughts that different people have. So, you know, while we, you know what we know, you know, other guys also provide insight and thoughts too. So, you know, if you have just the same people in and out every day, you might not have that diversity of thought.
Right. Yeah. So there's probably a happy medium between, you know, maybe a few weeks, few months to get up to speed. Then you're providing value. You're not only benefiting from the company, but the company is benefiting from you.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that agreement, whether it's 2 years or 5 years or 10 or that there was value exchanged each and every day between them. So, you know, 30-year contracts are like for mortgages, not for you know, it's like, I don't know. But anyways, that's cool, man. Any questions for me or about the documentary or any questions you want me to propose to you or pitch to you?
No, I'm good. As far as the documentary, I mean, what are y'all seeing as far as Industry 4.0? I mean, are y'all seeing people adopting it?
I'll say that, like, it's hard to just look at something and be like, oh, that's Industry 4.0. Yeah. But just the weirdest examples, like just checking in and out of the hotel. Some have like these real dumb key card systems. Other ones have like more Bluetooth, like they'll connect to your app.
Yeah.
And, you know, naturally there's things that the hotel could do to improve their operations, seeing when our guests leaving, when our guests coming in, kind of managing the traffic flow of guests, as well as cleaning crew. Imagine being able to see like, okay, you know, they're cleaning all these rooms. Oh, hey, you know, these suites are taking actually a lot longer to clean than we originally thought. So we might have to increase the prices of the suites.
Yeah.
Insights that you would, like that's a bunch of, those are just a few examples of data and insights that you can track just from being able to know who is coming in and who is leaving from each room with a smart key lock.
Yeah.
Right. That's Industry 4.0.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I always kind of run through those types of situations, being that, you know, we do this type of thing all the time. So, you know, I always like whenever I go somewhere, whether it's just a vacation or whatever, you know, I always kind of look at what's going on and think about, hey, you know, is there ways that they could do this better or whatever? You know, I guess it's just the analytical side of me. But, you know, that's kind of what we do every day, you know. We look at processes and we try and figure out ways to improve them, you know?
Yeah. Another example was when we were in Redwood National Forest. It's kind of a leisure stop for the trip with my family and Albert, and we were I was looking at these trees that are, you know, thousands of years old and, you know, just massive, like 10 plus feet in diameter, and it's like, why are these trees so large? What about them makes them so successful? You know, these trees have started like before even the first technology, right?
Yep.
And they'll probably be here long after the last technology, right?
Sure.
So it's like I was looking closely, and on the bark of the redwood, it's like covered in moss, and I was like, wow, you know, it's not just living for itself, it's living and it's creating an ecosystem and supporting the environment around it. And so naturally, it's going to get some of that back in return, some of that value. And that's why they're so massive. I mean, that was just my analogy that I drew, but I think that's also very true to Industry 4.0. And obviously just the story itself, getting to connect with so many people from LinkedIn, from integration community, sponsors, fans, you know, colleagues, that's really been awesome. And just helping inspire others to kind of just pursue that better version of themselves through these stories that we're telling through the podcast and through the documentary at, you know, at the end of it. So that's really been kind of one of the more exciting things to do.
Yeah, and we're actively working right now with some of our customers to try and improve, you know, creating some of these dashboards and stuff like this to go using the data that we have now to try and, you know, make things more optimum for them. So, you know, we're continuing to push forward with it. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where it take, you know, where it goes, where it takes us.
And I think the, just kind of summarize my view on my own transformation is kind of comparing, like, you know, snail mail to email, what that did to, you know, written communication, and comparing like the phone line to putting out video and what that will do to accelerate communication and therefore innovation and collaboration. So it's the communication equivalent to running your plant with a clipboard to going to something like a SCADA or Industry 4.0 application.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about it, everybody right now, they're walking around with the tools to have an HMI in their hand at all times.
Right.
And what we've seen, we started tracking logins, like on our desktop version of Ignition versus our mobile logins. And what we've seen is 8 to 12 times more logins on mobile as opposed to on the desktop.
Wow.
So whenever we saw that, all of a sudden it's like, okay, we need to start making this mobile way better, because, you know, this people don't, on the weekend, they don't want to pull out a laptop, go log into the Ignition, you know, app. They want to be able to pull it out, look on their phone while they're barbecuing. Oh, my production is good. So
that's very cool.
We started putting a lot more resources, and that's kind of what drove us to, you know, start pushing and doing a lot of the web dev stuff on the mobile side.
So if there's someone out there that's not developing mobile,
oh yeah,
they're making a hit, they're leaving that.
Yeah, especially you know, an oil and gas company, if they have their own in-house system. You know, we know some of the competitors, you know, they're just putting out a product where you have to have a computer to get into it, but you're losing that value of those operators. Because in a company, you have guys that, you know, are going to do just enough to get by, and then you got the guys that go, you know, the extra mile. So the guys that go the extra mile, you're giving them the tools to be able to check up on your asset and make sure that your asset is still up and running, you know, with their phone, and that it's running optimally. So
and also not having like graphical screens, it makes that a little bit
better. It's a lot harder to, you know, to push those graphics into a mobile interface and make them where they're useful, for sure.
So you're using more tabular
tabular tables and
trends.
Tables and trends.
Okay, very cool.
Yep.
Yeah, man, this has been exciting, and happy to see you guys are doing well.
Yeah, nice to meet you. I mean, we've talked and conversed over the internet and through the forums and whatnot, but you know, it's nice to finally put a, you know, a face to a name and talk to you, meet you.
And thanks for giving us the tour of the office. We'll have to go get that on video here, because I want to see what it looks like after you guys are doing the remodel.
Yeah, give us we should be finished in about a month, but it's going to look a lot better, a lot more modern.
Okay. And maybe there's something that, you know, you guys might continue with it. Maybe not with someone else internally. It's exciting to see more system integrators who have traditionally like not done any marketing, starting to see them putting themselves out there more. And I think it's going to create a better, not only more business, but also create a better connection and engagement with your existing customers, because they're used to having that personalized connection, even though you can't necessarily call them each and every day. If you're putting out video weekly, they're gonna know who you know, they're gonna stay familiar with you.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and it's something that we want to focus more on. I mean, just having the information out there, you may get new customers out of it, or you may go make the cold call yourself.
Right.
But whenever the guy looks you up and he sees, oh, okay, you know, this guy, he's actually, you know, out there, he's putting himself out there, you know, you're seeing his product, you know, you're seeing the way he thinks, the way he talks. I think it gives them a little bit more comfort in knowing that you know what you're doing. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't think outbound is going away. I think, you know, cold calling. I think, you know, your story itself, I love that. Driving by loyal customers and just hitting them up.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, and, you know, with the oil and gas, you know, you have competitors hitting the office every day. So, you know, it's, you got to provide a value and you got to, you know, do it at a good price. So that's how we always approach things.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Albert.
All right.